Our pastor has been admonishing us in the last few weeks to realize that we must be anchored to a rock-solid foundation as we face the onslaught of the devil through our culture, both of which despise God, they despise the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no use for His Word, and much less, not much more, for His followers. You know, you take that attitude that we face today in today's world. Obviously, that's not every individual, it's not every church, it's not every place. God's got His people, and God's got His preachers, and God's got people that are going to stand. But in general, we face this. And this hit me. You know, ISIS ideology is of the same spirit and mindset. They just use more deadly weapons and methods to carry out their ideology of what they think of Jesus Christ and the Bible and the things of the Lord. So that's what we face. I'm not going to go into that. The pastor's doing a great job of teaching us and admonishing us. But as believers, our stability in this life and the blessed hope of eternity with our Lord rest solely on the written, sure promises of the only sure foundation, Jesus Christ and the Word. Thus saith the Lord. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's our basic foundation. That's the foundation of everything that we want to learn and want to practice. Our study tonight is a hymn, How Firm a Foundation. And we're going to have scriptures that declare that we have a sure foundation that go along with the different verses. If you'll notice on about the hymn, down at the bottom you have this little inscription there, anonymous, and in parenthesis, K, in John Rippon's selection of hymns. And you'll notice up under the title, 1787. The reason it's marked this way in our hymn book, it's just Rippon's selection of hymns. 1787, this pastor in London, who, by the way, John Rippon was a leading dissenter of his day against the Church of England and the corruption that was there. But no one really knows who wrote this tremendous hymn. And so in 1787, he compiled several hymns that were really worthy of being compiled into a hymnal type songbook. And this is where you'll see this on other hymns, in other hymn books, Rippon's K in Rippon's selection of hymns. And why he lettered it K, I don't know. I don't know the background of that, but this refers to that. But what's interesting, the tune that we sing it to, an old-time Southern pentatonic melody tune, nobody knows who did that either. But it appeared, first of all, with this text in 1832 in another selection of songs. But whoever wrote either one of them, they're such a match, and they go back enough years that you could call this hymn a universal blessing to God's people, as it assures them and as it encourages them in the truths that are theirs in the Word of God. Now, in the first stanza, the sure foundation of our faith is declared to be the enduring Word of God. Let's read together and out loud, if you will. That's this first stanza. Okay? Now, you can mumble if you need to, but if you can do more than that, do it so we can enjoy it. Just going to read it together, the first stanza only. Here we go. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. In that stanza, a challenging question is asked. What more can He say is the way it's worded, but this is what it is. What more can God do than provide His very word as a complete revelation of Himself to man. If you stop and think about it, what does man need? Well, they need salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are they going to find it? They're going to find it in God's revealing as to how that can happen, how that can be then. And so, this is what we have. I'd like for you now, we're going to sing this first stanza, the first stanza only, right where you're sitting. I'd like you to sing with us, How Firm a Foundation, that first verse. Together.
How firm a foundation saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you for refuge to Jesus have fled.
All right, at each succeeding stanza of this song is personalizes the guiding, assuring, precious promises, yea, declarations of our Lord, of our God who does not lie nor fail to fulfill His word. Okay, let's read together stanza 2, right from where you're sitting together. Here we go. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. All right, now, I'll read a couple of verses that go along with that. This one is from Matthew 28, where you're given the Great Commission. And verse 20, this is from a reading from the Amplified Bible. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days. That is, I'm with you perpetually, I'm with you uniformly, and on every occasion to the very close and consummation of the age. Then a well-known verse in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil or the problems thereof. And this is what stanza 2 is expressing. Things go good, what we call good. Things go bad, that is what we call bad. It makes no difference. The Lord is there. His righteousness is there. We seek it, and He will take care of those needs that we have. All right, let's sing. We haven't sung stanza 2 yet, have we? Let's sing it. All right, here we go, friend.
In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land and the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be.
Verses that support that stuff. But folks, let's be looking at this tonight as what we personally need. We need in our hearts, deep in our hearts, this foundation that this song tells us about, and it comes these truths from the Scripture. So get real personal, if you will, as you think about what we're doing, and we're doing, you're doing well. All right, stanza 3. Oh, by the way, I guess before I need to do that, you know there are 7 stanzas. And that's the reason I put out the song sheet, because in our hymnal there are only 5, and there are 2 stanzas in here, and we just did one of them, that are really a blessing that we don't have. So, okay, stanza 3. Let's read it together, please. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Notice the I am thy God. I will. Now, I don't think that these particular verses, there needs to be brought into this, even in the verses that we're referring to using here, the great I am. I don't think that that necessarily is a part of what's being communicated in the scriptures here, but it's the same one who is the great I am. I am because I am. And he is the one who says, I will. Okay, now that's stanza 3. This verse in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Don't look around you in terror. Here it is again. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold. I will uphold you with the right victorious hand of my righteousness. So let's sing stanza 3. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. Together.
Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed.
Through the deep waters I call thee to go. The rivers of woe shall not overflow thee, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee your deepest distress. Okay? Now, this particular stanza, Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am thy God, the Holy One of Israel. And then in Psalm 124, there's an interesting way of saying this. The psalmist David, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now Israel may say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Their enemies. Oh, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then in the Lord's high priest prayer in John chapter 7, he mentions these things. I have given them thy word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify, set them apart, be there to assist them. Give them the aid that you have through thy word that is truth. Let's sing stanza 4. Together.
When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy day.
Much the same, slightly different. Here, let's read it together. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. This verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is after Paul had said, I had asked the Lord to remove that thorn in my flesh 3 times. And this is what the Lord said. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy when the Lord comes again, when we get to be with him, because we've been taken out of the world before he comes. Exceeding joy because the fiery trials that he gave us only strengthened our love for him. Let's sing it. Stanza 5. Together.
When through fiery trials, thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, and thy
the sixth stanza that is not in our hymnal. This has become my favorite, if you'll notice, please. Even down to, let's go, we're going to read it with me. Here we go. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. By the time your temples get gray and white, you need somebody to carry you around and push you in a wheelchair sometimes. But what does the poet say here? What does he say? All that that's going to prove is that my eternal, unchangeable love is still there as our life comes down near the end. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. How many people with white hair sitting around or around you or with you, or do you see their head hanging? Just a stern or a blank face. Because their life has been lived outside the righteousness of Christ. They just lived a human life, and now they're coming down to the end. They need to be born by God's love, born, carried along by God's love into his glory. We're going to go see some of them tomorrow night at the rest home. All of us ought to be praying for those folks. I think a few more of us could be there to be with them and to help get across the message of God's love for them. But the white hairs, the hoary hairs that belong to the man or the lady who has lived in this sovereign love of the Lord and is being borne along by that love, their heads are up. They're looking for his coming. And they are waiting for the exceeding joy when he does return. Let's sing it, please.
Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when the hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born.
That soul on Jesus still leans for repose. I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. It's the soul, it's our souls that we can't do anything with or about. God has to do it. All of hell wants to shake us away from depending upon God. from going to the source of the love that will save us. And yet, when they do shake at us, the Lord says, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Some of you may know where the scripture verse is. It's called a triple something or the other in the Greek language that says what this is. I'll never, no, the verb says this. This is not just poetry. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Anybody know where that is? But I've got a verse here that we'll share that definitely stays the same thing. And if you find that, we'll have it before we move on. In Hebrews 13, let your conversation, that is your way of life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Precious, precious, precious promises. As we face the days that are ahead of us, we're going to need this, not concerned, not fearing what man shall do with it. Let's sing it, verse 7, stanza 7, together.
The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That a soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Yes, the Lord is faithful and is working in the invisible realm of his perfect will, way beyond any or all of what we can ask or think. He's working. He's working for us. He's helping us. He's supplying what we need. He's preparing things that are ahead of us that we don't know anything about. We have a firm foundation in our God. Now, have we seen anything in here that we can take home with us? Is there anything in the hymn? Is there any connection between what was written here and what God wrote for us? I think we can say amen to that. I think we can say it. I tell you what, let's do. Let's stand and sing on stanza 1 and 7, and then we will move on with what's left of the service. Would you stand, please, and just beller it out. Give us a good introduction, please, my friend. Stanza 1 and then 7.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you for refuge to Jesus has fled.
Seven.
The soul that Jesus still lives for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That a soul of hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this wonderful hymn that has been put together so many years ago. And most of all, Lord, for the wonderful promises, declarations of your perfect will and your perfect way in the Scriptures. We ask thee now, thank you for it, and ask you to bless the remainder of this service.